Hello, patrons, and welcome back to After the Plague, my world of the thoroughly unpleasant living dead, and perhaps even more unpleasant, living. Last time we saw Lee making a small attempt at endearing himself to Camilla by allowing her to take a dress off a corpse so that she'd have something to wear. Not exactly a box of chocolates or a bunch of flowers, but then he's not exactly the romantic type, is he? Especially when he's got the ever-jealous Mandy nearby. After discovering the kitchens, Lee and Mandy led their captives, Camilla and Liz, down to the barricade on the staircase that Lee wants them to clear so they can then get up to the higher floors of the hotel. And that was when, quite out of the blue, a car alarm went off in the car park, and nothing excites a hungry zombie horde quite like a car alarm. Except, perhaps, a bunch of people all waiting to be eaten. So either way, the zombies have got a lot to be feeling rather chipper about this week. Anyway, we begin this episode right after the last scene. But now, we're in the company of Terry, the former hotel employee who's taken up permanent residence on the fourth floor and who helped create the terrible barricade on the staircase in the first place because he most definitely doesn't want company. Oh, and just one word of caution before we begin. Harsh times like those in After the Plague tend to lead to some very harsh language, so for that reason, and the fact that it's really rather violent in places, listener discretion is absolutely advised. After the Plague. Written and read by Mike Bennett. Episode 5. The car alarm was Terry's doing. He'd heard them arguing about the barricade at the bottom of the stairs. The woman was right. Septicemia was a given if they got cut by the barbed wire, and they would get cut by the barbed wire. That's why it had been used. But the man was showing no signs of giving a damn. That meant the women would die clearing the barricade, and then the idiot couple would be able to get up past it unscathed. By triggering the car alarm, he might have prevented that, maybe even given the women a chance to escape. But if they didn't make it, it wasn't his problem. To make the shot, he'd had to run along the fourth floor corridor to one of the rooms that overlooked the front door of the hotel. There were abandoned cars all over the car park. Some had belonged to guests and staff before the plague, others to intruders who had come after it. He wanted one near the door. There were four in a line there. He'd opened a window, put a heavy lead line weight into the rubber cup of the fishing catapult, aimed for the car nearest the front of the hotel, and fired. The distant crack and spider webbing of the windscreen told him he'd hit his target, but there was no alarm. So he'd fired at the next car, and hit the jackpot. It burst into life, the alarm alternating back and forth between two types of maddening siren and the side lights flashing wildly. Perfect. The zombies that had congregated in the car park had all been standing around, deprived of whatever it was that had made the sounds that had drawn them there. Had they been able to think, they might have realized that their quarry had flown and so wandered off somewhere more interesting. But lacking thought, they simply stood around, as oblivious to each other as they were to their location. The car alarm changed all that. They turned to the screaming, flashing car and started shambling towards it. Terry had no time to lose. It was dark now, and from his canvas satchel he drew out the military night vision goggles that he'd found in a crashed armored car. He switched them on, and the world turned green. He ran through the corridors of the fourth floor. On the opposite side of the building to where Lee and his group were now struggling at the bottom of one staircase, there was a second public staircase that he, Joseph, and Mr. Campbell had also barricaded to prevent access from below. But Terry ran past this to another stairwell, an emergency fire escape that had always been closed to the public. It was accessed by a short corridor behind a door marked private. Fire regulations meant that these doors were unlockable, but they'd made them lockable, as they had all the fire doors, by fixing padlocks and chains to them. Terry carried the keys on a large metal loop that he carried in his canvas satchel along with his catapult and ammo. He took out the keys, selected one, then unlocked the padlock. He pushed through the doors and ran down the four stories of bare concrete stairs to the ground floor. At the bottom, he came to another padlock door. He unlocked it and pushed through to a long, wide corridor. This was the deliveries passage, servicing the lower kitchen and bar, and ending with two fire doors that exited to the deliveries yard. He ran up to the bar, where he hurried across the trash-strewn floor, his eyes on the twin doors that led to the corridor where he knew the intruders to be. The doors were locked, the chains that he'd threaded through the handles and padlocked together, repeatedly snapping taut as someone on the other side pushed and strained against them. Terry could hear desperate whispers on the other side of the doors. He got as close as he could and listened.
"It's no use," whispered Lee. "They're locked, chained shut, same as them other doors."
"So what are we going to do?"
whispered Mandy, her voice filled with fear.
"If they're all locked, we're trapped."
"I fucking know that, don't I?"
Lee snapped. He looked down the corridor into reception, where the zombies bustled, agitated by the car alarm.
"There's only one thing we can do, and that's hide. Play dead and hope they fuck off when that car alarm finally conks out."
"But there's no sign of it conking out," said Liz.
"Have you got a better idea?"
"No."
"Well then shut up. Come on, let's get over there around the corner out of sight and lie down by them stairs."
"Oh my God," said Mandy. "They'll come down here. They'll find us."
"We ain't got no choice, Mandy, unless you want to take them on with a couple of busted chair legs and about five shells, because that's all the ammo I got on me, girl, and there's a fucking lot more of them than that."
Mandy was crying now. She looked like a child who wanted to use a toilet but was forbidden from doing so.
"Please, Lee, I just want to go back to the van."
"For fuck's sake, Mandy, if you want to go piling through them rotters to get to that van, then be my fucking guest. But me, I'm staying here."
He kicked aside some trash and lay down next to the wall opposite the bottom of the staircase.
"Look, see, I'm dead. No one's going to be eating me."
He looked at the others.
"Anybody else?"
Reluctantly, Camilla took a step towards him, but Mandy pushed her aside.
"Fuck off! He's mine!"
She got down, swept a space in the mess, and lay down alongside Lee. Camilla looked at Liz as if to say, "Do you want to lie next to her?" Liz looked at the barricade, then Mandy, comparing the two. She then lay down beside Mandy. Camilla looked around. There was nowhere else to go, nowhere to hide. She bent down, swept a space for herself, then lay down next to Liz. Cautiously, she laid a hand on Liz's side. Liz took it and drew her arm tighter around herself, and Camilla huddled closer. A line of poetry popped into her head, which she placed as being from Shakespeare's The Tempest. "Misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows." Never a truer word spoken, she thought, closing her eyes. Camilla understood that Liz's cruelty towards her was nothing personal. It was just survival. Liz smelled of expensive, looted perfume sprayed over ripe body odour. But that sour, sweet stink was infinitely preferable to the stench of the rotting dead nearby. Despite the fear and dread of all around her, Camilla felt sleep reaching for her and was about to yield to its oblivion when her thoughts were shattered by a sudden, full-blooded scream. She opened her eyes to see Mandy scrambling to her feet in the darkness.
"What? What the fuck is it?"
said Lee, sitting up.
"I don't know. A zombie. Something grabbed my hair."
Lee looked around but saw nothing. There were no zombies, but there would be now, thanks to that scream. He leapt up, went to the corner of the corridor, and peered around. Sure enough, the rotters had heard her and were now lurching slowly down towards them.
Shit!
I'm sorry, Lee, said Mandy.
She and the other women were now on their feet.
But I didn't imagine it. There was something there, touching my head, a hand.
Now having nothing to lose by turning on the flashlight, Lee clicked it on and swept it over the spot where they had been lying. The eyes of a rat glittered back at him.
There's your fucking zombie, Mandy. He must have thought he'd found his home, eh? Back to the bleeding nest. And now, thanks to you, we've got a mob of proper fucking head grabbers coming down on us.
It's not my fault, shouted Mandy. A fucking rat in your ear's enough to make anyone scream.
Oh, just shut up and find them bloody table legs, quick, said Lee.
He motioned to Liz and Camilla.
You two, find anything you can to use as a weapon and get ready. We've got to fight our way out of this together.
What about those doors? Said Camilla. We had to be quiet earlier, but we can all throw ourselves against them now. Try and break them down.
Too late for that, love.
He shone the light on the table that he and Mandy had pulled down from the barricade earlier. There were still two remaining legs.
Use them. Bust them off quick as you can.
Then he swept the flashlight beam around, searching for and finding the table legs that he and Mandy had used earlier. He ran into the corridor and gathered them up, all the while trying to ignore the shambling horde that was slowly bearing down on them.
Here, Mandy!
He tossed one to her. She caught it and cried,
Can't I have the gun again?
No, you fucking can't. Fire that and you'll bring another load of them in here.
Lee lay the flashlight on the floor so it shone at the oncoming horde. There was at least a dozen, probably more, and the first of them were now only about 3 metres away.
All right, ladies, no time like the present.
Lee drew back the club and charged, swinging the weapon in a downward arc and caving in the skull of the lead zombie. As it dropped, he jumped back, then he swung again, bashing in the skull of a second.
Come on, man. I'll take the left side of the corridor. You take them down on the right. We can do this. Just keep a distance from them. Don't let them get round behind you.
Mandy came forward, swishing the club from side to side as if to warn the oncoming zombies away. But they showed no interest in the club, only in the meat that was swinging it. They continued to advance. There were so many shadows, so much darkness, but she saw that Lee had run forward and was now beating a stubborn one to the ground. Then she saw another one was coming around behind him, reaching for him. Mandy had to act. She ran forward and swung her club at the back of the zombie's head. She connected, but only enough to tear a chunk of scalp and hair away, exposing the skull beneath. The zombie turned on her. She swung the club back again, this time smashing it into the thing's jaw. It staggered, but then came on, hands outstretched towards her.
Lee!
She cried, but Lee was fighting more of them beyond it. She swung the club at the zombie's clawing hands, smacking one arm away, breaking the wrist, but still it came on.
Oh, fuck off!
She shouted.
Just fuck!
Camilla swung her table leg and whacked Mandy in a sideswipe across the back of the head that dropped her like a sack of wet laundry.
Good, said Liz, motioning at Camilla with the gun. Keep going. Clear a path through them till I can get a clear shot at him.
Camilla glanced back at her.
Why don't you just shoot anyway? Take a load of them down with him. We've got 2 shots in this thing, maybe only one. Do you really want me to take a chance that we miss?
Camilla didn't. She stepped over Mandy's body to meet an oncoming zombie and lashed out with the club, splitting the thing's forehead. As it fell, she saw Lee surrounded up ahead, swinging his club all around and trying to beat them back. There were only a few between her and him. She turned back to Liz, her eyes appealing for her to shoot, but Liz shook her head. Earlier, as Camilla had been wrenching the table leg free, Liz had gone for the gun. She'd brought it straight to bear on her and said,
Do as I say and I'll let you live.
For a moment, Camilla had been shocked, but only for a moment.
Liz, we've got to fight together if we're going to survive. Fuck survive. I'm killing those two fuckers. Do you know what they did to me before you came along?
She did. Liz had told her when they'd been alone in the van.
Liz, please, we'll get a chance later, but for now we have to...
Liz brought the stock of the shotgun to her shoulder and aimed it straight at Camilla's face.
No, this is it. The only chance we've had and the only chance we'll ever get.
She then gestured to Mandy.
Now take that table leg and bash that fat tart's head in, or so help me, I'll shoot the pair of you.
And so she had. Now Liz was again gesturing with the gun for Camilla to keep battering a path through to Lee. She was about to comply when Liz's face suddenly went slack and she dropped to the ground. Camilla looked down on her, uncertain as to what had just happened.
Liz?
A guttural groan from behind her made her turn back to the zombies. One was coming for her. She was about to swing the club when something whizzed past her ear and a hole appeared in the rotter's forehead.
Someone was behind her. Someone helping her.
Camilla turned to look for her benefactor, but the flashlight shining at her from the floor made it impossible to see anything beyond it, until another flashlight came on at the end of the corridor. It turned and illuminated the doors that they had tried earlier, locked then, but now open.
Oi!
Camilla turned back to see Lee standing victorious over the bodies of the horde at the other end of the corridor.
Mandy! Where's Mandy?
No choice now, thought Camilla,
and she started running back to where her benefactor waited. She didn't see Mandy stir and lunge for her. She only knew when she felt Mandy's fat arms encircle her legs and bring her down.
Lee!
Mandy shouted.
They hit me! They fucking whacked me one!
Now Lee was running back, jumping over the bodies that were strewn about the corridor, trying to navigate through them while keeping his eyes on the second flashlight at the other end of the corridor.
You!
He shouted.
You are the doors!
The flashlight went out. Then something smashed into his face, shattering his cheekbone just below the left eye. He screamed in shock and pain, then tripped over a corpse to tumble down onto another.
Lee!
Mandy shouted, punching all the while at Camilla.
Lee!
Just ahead of him, in the glow of the floor flashlight, Lee saw Liz's body, and beside it, the shotgun. He scrambled forwards and grabbed it. He looked up. In the dim, ambient light from the open doors at the end of the corridor, he could just discern the shape of a man, like a shadow cast upon the shadows. He got up to a kneeling position, aimed the gun at the man, and fired.
Take that, you cunt!
Through the rolling gun smoke, he saw the shadow whirl through the doors and pull them closed behind him. Then came the distant sound of chains rattling against wood. He was locking up again. Lee got up and started running, leaping over where Mandy and Camilla struggled with each other, and running down to hurl himself against the doors. They juddered, but held.
You fucking bastard!
He raised the gun to the doors and pulled the second trigger. The gun clicked. Empty.
Fuck!
He rammed the doors with his shoulder again and again, unable to accept their unassailability. Then Mandy screamed, a long, agonized howl. Lee looked back and saw Camilla running away. More zombies had come into the corridor, but she dodged them, simply sidestepped them without making any contact at all.
Lee!
Mandy howled.
I'm blinded! I'm fucking blinded!
Lee ran back to her, falling to his knees beside her.
What? What is it, Mand?
In the dark, he couldn't make her out clearly. He reached for the flashlight.
My eyes! A bitch stuck her fingers in my eyes!
He grabbed the flashlight and turned it on her. Mandy's face was a mask of blood and gore, with two oozing black holes where her eyes should have been.
Oh, fuck!
Mandy howled, finding his arm and seizing it tightly.
Lee! I need hospital. I'm fucking blinded.
I know, girl, said Lee, trying to pull away from her, as the zombies, having stumbled over their fallen kindred, now crawled towards them down the corridor.
And we're going to get you to hospital. Don't you worry. For there ain't no hospitals, Lee. There ain't none. Oh, Christ, it fucking hurts, Lee.
It's all right, Mand, Lee said, tearing her hands away from him.
I'm going to find you a doctor. Don't you worry. There's got to be one somewhere. We're going to get back to the van, or we're going to get you to him, all right? Lee!
She screamed, groping at the vacant space where he had been.
Don't leave me here.
I got to, Mand, he said, getting to his feet.
I got to clear a path to the van, and I, and then I'm going to come back and get you. Lee!
She screamed.
Lee!
But Lee was walking away down the corridor, sidestepping the crawling zombies, knowing they'd be no bother to him, because they were going for Mandy. She was the one making all the noise, and she wasn't going anywhere. Up ahead, more zombies awaited him in reception, but he didn't care if there were 1,000. He'd take them all down, and then 1,000 more, because beyond them was Camilla, and he and Camilla had a date. End of episode 5. Music on the podcast is by Andrew Rothman. Find out more at arothman.com.
This podcast has been brought to you today by you. Yes, you, and all my other sponsors at Patreon. Thank you for supporting me, and never forget that everything I produce from now on, be it on paper or on podcast, is as a result of your contribution.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah!
I did a mini fist pump there, but obviously you couldn't see it.